Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm JB McMillan. On this week's show, Rachel Malcolm, Al Kellock and Chris Patterson are joined by sporting legends Mark Beaumont, Rob Wainwright and Ali McCoys to discuss Doddy Gum. Alan Mossy dissect the 1872 Cup game from last weekend, and I sit down with Scotland head coach Gregor Townsend as he picks his squad for the upcoming Guinness Six Nations.
Mossy, are you involved in Doddy Gum?
I am. I'm signed up. I'm not massively active or active in any stretch of the imagination on social media, but I am a team member of the South. Come on, the South. Back to my roots, Al.
Rach, you've nailed your colours to Team Glasgow, haven't you?
Obviously. Only one choice there. I'm not that many miles, but as many as I can get around training, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, for anybody that's not seen it, and you'd struggle not to see it if you're on. Well, you could be like Mossy and not be on social media because you're grumpy. But anybody that's not seen it,
old fashioned, Al. Traditional.
Traditional. We'll go with traditional. It was Rob Wainwright's original concept that ran last year, and it was pretty much about getting people out and active in January. You make your donation, you get your snood to represent your district. And today we are joined by Mark Beaumont, Alan McCoyston and Rob himself, as we have a bit of a look as to how phenomenal amounts of money have been raised, as well as great awareness for Doddy's Foundation as they look to find a cure for MND. We're delighted to be joined by three of the stars of Doddy, Doddy Gump and Mark Beaumont, Alan McCoyston, the man with the original idea, Rob Wainwright today. Guys, great to have you on.
Pleasure to be here.
Rob, if we can chuck one to you to start with. You, as I say, you came up with this original concept and it's now into its second year, but you must be delighted, not only with how it went last year, but the growth that you've seen this year.
Well, it's been phenomenal. And we actually did the original one 3 years ago. And sometimes it all kicks off and the energy's there, and sometimes it doesn't. And I'm just happy to say it's gone ballistic this year. And I think lockdown may have helped that. And obviously the asset we have in any fundraising with Doddy, he's just such an amazing guy and has captured everyone's imagination and he's loved by all. And it's a very easy job when you've got a figurehead like Doddy for people to follow.
When you come up with concepts like this, Rob, and activities, do you ever, I suppose, plan as to how big they can become or how successful they can become? Or is that open-ended? And obviously anything with Doddy is open-ended because he's so influential. But would you envisage 3 years on that it would be someone as global as this or as big as this already?
Clearly, we didn't envisage it, which is why 4,000 people have got headbands and 20,000 people haven't got headbands. And there's a half ton of snoods they are, not headbands, half ton of snoods on a pallet in China waiting to be shipped out here. And poor old Jill Douglas at the foundation has been answering about 200 emails a day saying, yes, I'll put this one to Rob. Your snoods will arrive soon, I think. So clearly we didn't. And we've not been without our problems. The app on the 1st of January completely folded when 10,000 people all signed on at once. And this poor rat that was used to three men and a dog wasn't up to it. But we've kind of caught up and everyone's having a good time, and everyone accepts, if there's a few problems, so be it. It's all for a great cause. And the energy of the event is uplifting to be involved in. And a big thank you to all of you out there that are involved, and of course all of you out there that aren't involved. We've got 25,000 people signed up at the moment, but when I last looked, the population of Scotland was a wee bit bigger than that, so we've got a few folk to sign yet. So anyone listening that isn't, go to doddyaid.com and get yourself signed up for one of the old district teams. Obviously North and Midlands would be very happy to have you if you want to be a winner.
That, but we'll come on to Team Glasgow now, if that's okay. Thank you very much for your chat. Ali, Team Glasgow manager. Focus.
I'm getting savvy now. I'm getting more stick as team manager of Glasgow than I did when I was manager of Rangers, and that's saying a lot. Backline about it's unbelievable. I'm getting it from Logan down south, which I kind of expected, guys. But when Gerard Butler starts piping in from Hollywood, I think
classic Kenny Logan, was you not, though, Ali? Classic Kenny Logan. Wait, there's £500,000 been raised, and in comes Kenny. Don't worry, guys, I'm here.
tell me, is Kenny a Northern Midland or is he an exile?
Ooh. Team Glasgow.
It's Team Glasgow.
All right. I've on a few things.
Mossy, I did have that question myself. I mean,
can you not offload him, Ali?
To be honest, we tried to get rid of him.
Listen, mate, if one of my duties is to buy and sell, I can tell you Logan and Butler will be on the list as soon as possible. I can tell you that. The thing I want to know, though, Al, when I got, did everybody receive the same threatening email and text from Wainwright as the one I got about becoming a manager? It was the old Godfather offer I got. Here's an offer you can't refuse. You're getting your opportunity to manage your team again, and it was Glasgow. So it was a kind of sign here offer I got. Not quite the horse's head in the pillow, but it wasn't. I think that was the next step.
You're a persuasive man.
From Kelly. Oh, he mentions Doddy there. Like, ultimately, I mean, this is about MND. This is about finding and funding what is a curable disease, but an underfunded disease as far as the research is concerned. But, and that's the bigger picture. But then the centre figure for us is Doddy, and it's a man that you know well, and I know that you're delighted to be adding your, I was going to say, your miles behind him.
I wouldn't be adding my miles behind Doddy because he's with the South, but they could do with my miles, certainly.
Come on, this is.
But I'm very biased, but I'm also neutral because I'm the centre of the hub that is the event with Ian Fraser, the other member of Doddy Gump. But you know, Doddy has been fantastic, and I try not to pester him and Kathy too much. But every couple of weeks, I'll say, "Come on, about time for a video." And he puts an amazing video out, him and the kids all running around in their t-shirts, sledging in the snow and doing daft stuff. I'm not really a social media, you know, machine, but I now know that Doddy can rack up 34,000 hits in about five hours when Gerard Butler can't. And Gerard Butler was our biggest video, but he just got swept away when Doddy and the kids went sledging. So that's the appeal of the man. We don't need to tell Gerard that, of course.
Ali, you know Doddy really well. I assume you've had a few experiences with Doddy, but he's some character, isn't he? I mean, to carry this on behalf of everybody with MND as well, he really is a beacon, isn't he?
Mossy, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's one of these guys. We're sitting talking about him. Viv and I were sitting talking about him the other day there. And he's one of these guys, very few people in life, you mention their name and you automatically, the first thing you do is smile.
Yeah.
And you have a nice thought, a genuine nice thought. Mm. And that's Doddy. You know, he's just full of fun. He's a great guy to be around, right? And as having spent many a year as captain on Question of Sport, I'm not sure I'd have him in my most knowledgeable team. Right. In terms of Question of Sport, Doddy ain't splitting the atom, fellas and guys. let's get that on the table right away. But I would have to say, if it's a fun team, him and Sam Torres are my two first picks. And that's the most important thing. He's just, as I say, just great fun to be around. And I've got to say, I mean, the way that Doddy and the family are handling the whole situation is absolutely remarkable, absolutely remarkable. I mean, the respect that the family have got and rightly receiving from everybody globally is understandable, but it's also very, very touching. And it's taken something like this. Obviously, Rob Burrows, and I've got a connection with Fernando Richardson as well. And it's just an absolutely horrendous, horrendous illness. And it's great that we can actually have a little bit of fun and enjoy ourselves, even today, for example. And then the beauty of it is we're out, whether it's walking, running, cycling, we're all doing a little bit, and every bit matters. You know, every bit counts, whether you're cycling 50 miles or walking 5 miles, it doesn't matter. We're all trying to achieve the same thing, and that's obviously helped Doddy. So he's just, mostly he's great. I mean, most of my stories with the rugby boys, I can't tell. The opportunity I get to tell stories about the rugby boys is when I'm at a rugby dinner. That's the only chance I get. But now, same as you guys, I love them dearly. I really do.
Yeah. That's what's been awesome to see. Doddy's always been really honest over the last 3 years about the fact that he's always had his sports pals, his rugby pals, you know, across the board. And that's something that not everyone who has motor neuron disease has got, you know, that banter, that camaraderie. And it's something that's definitely kept him going. And I know the world takes a lot of strength from him, but I think he takes a lot of strength from all you guys and that wider network. And I think he thinks he's got a real opportunity. And my goodness, he's taken that and run with it, which is inspiring for so many people who didn't even know what MND was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And Mark, I was going to say, Ali talks about everyone doing their little bit, but you've got plans to do an awfully big bit. Can you tell us a little bit about your round the world cycle that you've got planned?
Yeah, so I mean, back when this first kicked off 3 years ago, Rob and I pedalled the match ball literally down to the Calcutta Cup. So that was a 500-mile ride from Murrayfield to Twickenham, which we thought would be...
Wait, just for clarity, Mark, you can't count those miles.
I know.
Your team Edinburgh for this. So don't even try that. Sorry, but back to you.
To be honest, Al, if Mark backdated some of his miles, nobody would have a chance.
Yeah, that's true.
It was an event that we thought would attract a very, very small amount of people. And Rob and I were amazed how many people got involved in that. We thought 500 miles would be enough to put everyone off, but actually that had quite a peloton to it. And then, you know, here we are 3 years later with, 25 plus thousand people wanting to clock their miles and get active through to early February this year. So it's pretty phenomenal. Rob and I were brainstorming how we try and pull this together at the end of January in one day, because everyone's out sort of walking their dogs, going for runs, you know, doing what they can on their own, and the banter's all happening on social media, but ultimately everyone's clocking their miles and their tod. So Rob and I were saying, could we get everyone together on Zoom on a social event where people are clocking the miles together? So a virtual event where people can actually have a bit of banter and share the ride, and some of these amazing guests who you've mentioned already can pop up and share their stories. So we're just trying to create a day where people can get on their bikes and ride miles together. So very simple concept. Saturday the 30th, round the world in a day. Can the districts all put teams together to try and clock up the miles equivalent of pedaling around the planet? It's 18,000 miles if you cycle around the world. And it sounds crazy, but if you get enough riders doing it and you break it down, you might just get around the planet. And it's twofold, isn't it? It's one big day when you can clock some miles. We're going to run it from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., but the second and the thing that brings it to life is just the having a list of guests to pop up during the day and just having that, you know, we can't do it, we're in lockdown right now, but having a virtual peloton, actually creating an event about it and a bit of social. So that's the idea, and we're gonna push it hard over the next week, getting as many people riding together, and I'll be leading the charge, doing the full gold standard is a 240-mile ride. That's if anyone's up for doing the gold standard. But you can do a version of that if you want to go smaller.
There's a lot of people looking at their diaries and filling them very quickly. They've never seen so much fidgeting from Christy and Kellogg there. Look at them.
I'm going to let you in a little secret, Mark. I had to have a lie down when I read your suggestion.
Well, as the manager, as long as you put a good team in.
Well, Wainwright, he's embarrassed me into it. I'm actually working on the 30th, but now that it's starting at 6 a.m, I can definitely get some miles in before I start working, that's for sure.
Superb. We'll get you on for the pep talk. Is that right? We'll get you on for the pep talk.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. A few miles with my tongue.
I think I'd suggest the pep talk be at about 11 p.m. the night before then, if Coyce is doing it.
Coyce, I'm intrigued. I mean, why don't we use this as a dry run? If you've got a bunch of riders about to do a double century, a 200-miler, what would you advise? What's your top tips, Coyce?
My top tips are, seriously, get to bed early, right? Without everything you've never done as a rugby player, Actually, just do the complete opposite for this. Get to bed early and prepare and get some cycling done beforehand. That's the secret. Don't think you're going to arrive and cycle like yourself.
Is that gold standard advice, Mark?
Well, you've missed your calling. I mean, that's just amazing. Yes, that's perfect. We'll pre-record that. We'll push that out to all the riders.
I have to tell you, Mark, the irony won't be lost in a lot of the medals.
I was thinking more head down, backside up. Was that all right?
Perfect. That works. That works.
Short and precise.
It's amazing the amount of ex-rugby players who have turned to life on two wheels. I mean, Rob and pals, they're all bike riders these days, and actually, they're not bad at it. I mean, we've shared a few big miles over the years, and the amount of people who used to chuck a rugby ball around who are now pretty phenomenal bike riders. So, yeah, I agree. The gold standard might be beyond a lot of people, but I guarantee there's a lot of nutters that will be up for this. And I mean, the cool thing is you could pitch up and do a two-hour shift. You could do a version of it. You could do a 60 miles. You could do a century. You know, you don't need to do the full works.
I love how you're talking about 100 miles like it's just like popping up to the shops for a bit.
Is it all indoor bikes? This is not going to be folk on the road. This is going to be everybody.
No, absolutely. We're in lockdown. So, I mean, the idea is the entire event happens online. And having run this event before, We ran World in a Day last year as a virtual event. We actually ran it the year before Rob was on it as an Across Scotland event. But the whole event happens on a Zoom call. You can have up to 300 people. And honestly, you have to experience it to believe it. But when you have guests popping in for chat and inspiration, we'll have people from the adventure world, athletes. It really makes the day, well, worth the big miles, because most people would ever jump on a turbo for, 45 minutes, an hour. The idea of doing a proper endurance set is hard, but that's the whole point. If it's not hard, why would you fundraise against it? Do something which is genuinely difficult in the safety of your kitchen and your garage. It's a big challenge, yes, but that's the whole point. You know, do something which really stretches you.
I'd love to be there. I just unfortunately don't have an indoor bike, so I'm going to have to give this.
I'd just like to address any listeners in Glasgow. Kelly Bryan and Al Kellick have both claimed they don't have a bike. So if anyone has a spare bike, turbo setup that they could borrow, then I'm sure they'd be very grateful, because they're absolutely gagging to be on this event, both of them.
I mean, I've got 240 written all over me, but I just can't facilitate it. Ali, have you got the indoor bike, Ali?
Believe it or not, there's no escape for me. I've got one of these. Does a Peloton count?
Yeah, of course it is. Clock your miles, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last time I looked, I've got a Peloton in the spare room.
You got a motor on it, Ali?
I'll have a go. I'll certainly have a go at that first thing in the morning. And as I say, if it's a 6 o'clock start, I'll have a go at that.
Well, if you can inspire the Peloton, we look forward to it.
Yeah. Al, are you telling me that Warriors won't give you a watt bike for a day?
A watt bike?
After all you've done for them,
no,
there's no way they're not giving you a watt bike for a day.
No, they need them all for the boys. I wouldn't want to interfere with a game preparation.
To be fair, Mossy's not been getting a lot of grief here. He's fidgeting a wee bit in his car there. And are you up for the full 240?
Well, just as you're talking about these, Mark's saying about these ex-rugby players good in a bike, I'm no very good in a bike. I don't possess muscles in my legs to drive me. The positive is I don't carry a lot of weight, so I'm better on the road. I'm a better walker and runner than I am cycler, but I'll do something. I'm not sure it'll be 240, but I'll do something.
Okay, so we'll take that as a yes then.
So, 480.
I think your captain Rory's talking about doing the lot, but maybe he needs a buddy. Maybe he needs a partner to split it.
Maybe
with.
Aye. Mm. Well, the South are doing well. The South are doing well for the smallest region.
What would the timescale be for doing the lot, roughly?
It'll take people all day. We ran this event last year, and it takes people a good 14 hours to do the full shift. I mean, it depends. You can bury yourself and get it done quicker, but you'd have to be a pretty sharp bike rider. But I mean, as they, I don't want people to feel like it's 240 or not. Yeah, it all counts. And when you sign up, you have to take.
I was asking for a friend, Mark.
If people are completely new to the idea, of course, there's five districts. You should definitely be looking to join Team Edinburgh. And when you join up, your miles count. If you can, the whole premise is if you can on the day, try and get around planet Earth, count up to 18,000 miles for your team, it all adds up. But if we can convert that for £1 a mile to the where are we on the fundraiser? I mean, we're about halfway through the month and it's going great, guys.
Yeah, I think we're on the halfway point of the event. I think this is literally halfway, and we are just shy of £650,000, which is
phenomenal.
Quite unexpected. But we have set ourselves, we didn't say, you asked, do you set goals for these things? you never know where they're going to go. But we now mm-hmm. have a goal set. We're setting £1 million. Mm-hmm. And in the second half of the event, I'm hopeful that we can keep pushing recruitment, and events like the World in a Day on the 30th of January, which can be accessed at worldinaday.com. Ali, do you want to write that down, or I'll text it to you if you want?
Text me, please. Text me.
And it's great fun. I joined during lockdown when Mark was doing these once a week. Can you believe that? I think was it 5 weeks in a row you did it once a week, Mark?
Yeah, for lockdown number one, we thought we'd bring it back for Doddy Aid, but we did it last year, and it was every Thursday for 5 weeks, which was
Oh, guys, I mean the amount of work that's going on is phenomenal. I think your point, Ali, about it being a bit of fun as well is well received. It's getting people out, and there's an element of fun to it. A bit of a shout out for Team Glasgow and the World Cycle, and Edinburgh have got Mark Bowman and Chris Hoy as a starter. So Team Glasgow need all the help they can get.
That's all they should be allowed, actually.
No, disqualified, I agree with you, Alan.
And the entire population of Glasgow should be taking them on.
Well, maybe next week, the week after, we'll run one, Chris Hoy leading, and it's the 1 kilometre in a day.
The sprint. The sprint.
Isn't it? It's going to be very quick.
We should say, I like the 650,000 that's been raised so far has, for everyone organising it, Rob, Ian, the team, has absolutely blown away all expectations. And a massive, massive thank you for everyone who's clocking up their mile, supporting their teams, joining the banter online. It's been phenomenal. And of course, we're running this through till, is it the 6th or 7th of February?
6th of February.
So, you know, events like World in a Day are just sort of put in there for a bit of fun for the big mile hunters. But every day you can get out and clock some miles and make a difference. And it's a huge thank you, because it's a huge amount of cash.
Well, Mark, you summed that up. You summed that up absolutely brilliantly. So all that remains for me is to thank you guys very much for coming on. Look forward to seeing you a week on Saturday for this mile. I'll try and search out a bike.
And the last thing I've got to say, Al, simply is this: as manager of Glasgow, I'm going into the market. I'm getting rid of Butler and Logan, and I want Bowman and Hoy in immediately.
Done deal.
Is it the transfer? The transfer market halfway through the event.
Yeah, just to let you know, you're a free transfer. There's no money involved. Okay.
The January window's still open, isn't it?
The Bowman, we'll call it, free transfer. There we go. We can name it as well. Brilliant, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
guys. Great to chat.
Well, that was a whirlwind conversation, to say the least. But great to hear, you know, so much support for Doddy and such nice words as well about him. But also to hear kind of the amazing work that they're all putting in and how passionate they are about it.
It's brilliant how things capture imagination, isn't it? Like you've got ultimately, you know, global community coming together to represent, you know, Doddy and the search for a cure for MND. And it's just hilarious how, I don't know, how engaging everybody is around it. And I think that's a lot to do. We spoke about that, didn't we? A lot to do with Doddy himself and his personality and the person that he is. But that ability to bring people together, make it competitive, make it fun from all walks of life, for absolutely everybody, it's just amazing. We run out of kind of special things to say about Doddy, but he sets that tone. And you just hope that this, well, it's already a massive success, but it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and we can contribute to this, the cure that hopefully we'll find.
Well, as I said, like the thing that Jill Douglas, who kind of runs the foundation, talks about is that this is not an incurable disease, it's an underfunded disease. But I saw today that they've made some good breakthroughs, and that's ultimately what Dodd's trying to do. He's trying to find breakthroughs, whether it be for for him or for the future generations to find breakthroughs to battle this horrific disease?
I mean, obviously, to get three such influential, brilliant people as we had on the, you know, 2-3 minutes ago in the podcast, it's just, again, underlines Doddy, but the support and the warmth, not only just to the rugby community, but everybody in general, and these, you know, Ali McCoy, Mark Bowman, Rob Wainwright, you know, they're brilliant ambassadors for the whole thing, but they obviously get a bit of enjoyment out as well, don't they?
Oh, Moshi, I'm on about 10 WhatsApp groups for it, and there's stick flying absolutely everywhere. But, like, exactly the way that Dodd wants it. Like, yeah. I mean, he's coming on and giving folk as much grief as anybody. but, I mean, you mentioned the type of people. There's so many people from so many different backgrounds that are involved, not just sport, and absolutely globally, there are people involved. I mean, my team Glasgow, would state claims to people who I think have only been in Glasgow once, but that's part of the fun as well. As well as trying to get...
It's down to your manager, Al. It's down to your manager.
Down to the manager. But, like, Ali and Mark, and I mean, Mark's initiative as far as the round the world, it's not going to, we kind of joked about that, it's not going to be for everyone. But for those that it is for it, it's a phenomenal thing to be able to do to cycle alongside Mark Bowman. Chris Hoy's running a Swift initiative every Sunday morning. So you get the opportunity through this to be cycling alongside Chris Hoy. Now, I think he's a wee bit further ahead than most people. Like, so many people putting their time and effort into backing it. And like Rob's initial idea has just gone through the roof as far as the awareness and the funds that he thought it would generate. And yeah, I mean, Ali chips in and he's putting his he's spreading the good word around all the football guys as well. Simon Donnelly's involved from a Celtic point of view, an ex-Celtic player. And he, again, is putting out a different demographic who are coming in and supporting Dodd's Foundation.
And on that, obviously another big fundraising initiative coming from that group is the song that's due to be released called Doing It for Doddy. It's another kind of crucial fundraiser, so do your bit if you can and download the song and help raise those crucial funds for MND.
So clap your hands for Doddy, stomp your feet everybody, sing and cheer, let Scotland hear, we're doing it for Doddy.
Here he goes again.
Clap your hands for Doddy, stomp your feet everybody, sing and cheer, let Scotland hear, we're doing it for Doddy.
And Doddy, we are one of Scottish rugby's favourite sons.
Well, what the second leg of the 1872 Cup, the game that was, you know, postponed the week before on Saturday. Glasgow came out on top, Al, 23 points to 22, 1 point in it. It's an interesting game, really. I know you were working on it, so I'll kind of touch on it first. You could see the tension, the pressure. It started off like a normal 1872 derby, really, where the understanding and the knowledge of each other cancelled each other out a little bit. I thought Glasgow's intensity and physicality was excellent. In the opening 20 minutes or so, deserved the lead, deserved to go ahead. Could have been further ahead. I think the wind probably had quite an impact on it. They were playing with the wind at the backs in the first half and it was pretty miserable. So that maybe curtailed some of the attacking abilities more than anything. But then it turned into an absolute cracker of a game, really. It just came alive, didn't it? In the second half, we had, you know, missed opportunities, we had yellow cards, we had dynamic attack in rugby, which we hadn't seen really in the first game and a half. And I think Glasgow deserved to come out on top just at the end.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, if anything, you know, ebbed and flowed, I think I even said that in commentary, the fact that, you know, Edinburgh had their chances to go and win the game as well. George Turner scored that try. Jakob van der Vol got sin-binned. That was the time where Glasgow should have grabbed hold of that game. And as it turned out, they didn't. And Edinburgh were brilliant with 14 men. They really were. I mean, if you had 10 players, how you play the game with 14 men, in particular when you're 10s off the park, they did it.
It's a hard position to cover, eh?
Yeah.
Like, you think
they did it well, and ultimately could have gone on and won the game. Like, they had the opportunity for the kick at goal at the end, which, you know, was an incredibly hard kick. Glasgow just edged it. And then there was a kind of mix-up. There was a couple of reasonably funny moments. There was a mix-up at the end where Glasgow players all thought they were still playing for the 1872 over two legs on points difference. And then there was the end of the first half where the train sounded the song. there was a bit of miscommunication in the Edinburgh ranks and ended up actually leading to 3 points for Glasgow, which I look back on it was crucial, but I'm not sure we could put it all down to the train driver.
No, and then you could see that the panic in Nick Groom's face as he heard it, and just kind of looked around, and it was one of these moments like if you're removed from it, watching on TV or watching from you probably know what's going on, but on the field, like, what was that? Was that a side? Was it not a side? I remember playing. You would have played in an 1872 Cup game at Fir Hill, where Phil Godman was our 10, and he thought the first half had ended because the stadium clock had reached 40 minutes, but it was but that hadn't been stopping along with the referee's clock. So we had that kind of really awkward 2.5 minutes where everyone's like, Phil, what are you doing? So it was I think after that, the clocks then had to be in sync basically with the referee's clock. So I remember that as an example, and Saturday was something similar really. But I think it definitely got better. I was a wee bit frustrated watching the first half. How bad were the conditions? I mean, it was a bit of horizontal rain. It looked a strong wind at Glasgow's back. And I thought actually for Edinburgh to go in, what was it, 10-9 up, having played into the wind, they'll be pretty happy.
It was difficult.
Was it that bad?
I mean, the flags were clearly going pretty strongly, but I think the rain probably was the biggest factor in it, and it came and went. And it then freed the game up a wee bit when the ball was a bit drier. But no, it's always a factor when it's blowing down the way it does. But Glasgow, you know, from a Glasgow point of view, the biggest things for me were one, and we talked scrum. About it before. Yeah, absolutely the scrum. And I can see Alexander Ferguson switched that on his head and actually went on the attack, albeit against a different front row from Edinburgh's point of view. But the other thing was the hard runners that were coming onto the ball. So the first game, they were trying to go wide with the ball that they hadn't had any go forward. So Edinburgh defence was intact on top. Whereas in this game, for periods, both teams attacked far better, but for periods, Glasgow got that go forward. How impressed were you with young fellow at 10 and his first start for Glasgow?
Yeah, Ross did really well, didn't he? He did really well in terms of his overall game. His kicking at goal was excellent, but his overall game, but you forget how difficult it is, especially to play standoff, but for your first start as well. And he's put a lot of work into that. He's worked for years. He came through the age grade system and played successfully 18s and 20s in Super 6 in academy. So he's been in and around the squad for maybe about 18 months now at Glasgow, training hard, learning as an intelligent player, but still not being exposed to a lot of senior rugby or professional rugby. And to have that much composure, in his performance was excellent. So it was really happy for Ross. There was a few good performances, actually. I thought Hugh Jones played really well at fullback again for Glasgow. He looked really dangerous in the ball. Richie Gray had another big game. I thought Blair looked sharp, actually, in Edinburgh attacks as well. Just a couple of times in the second half, he got on that outside edge of the defender, got his hands free. So difficult to mark. You need to put two men on him, really, because he's so quick and he's running, yet his limbs and his arms are so long he can free his hands and get offloads away. Mark Bennett, another good game. I actually thought Luke Crosby played well when he came off the bench for Edinburgh as well, brought a direct hardness and...
The other one I would add into that mix, from a Glasgow point, Leone and Akawara coming on, and like he wasn't exceptional, but he must have carried the ball six or seven times in the period he was on, and you can just see as a defender, you don't know whether to go low on him, and he gets that off all the way. You don't know if you want to go too high on him because he's such a big man, he can easily dunk you. So I thought he was a bit of a point of difference as well. It was another close game.
There's not a lot in it. Not a lot in both games, as you say. I suppose that the fractured nature of the season continues with, no games, obviously, this week. Well, Edinburgh play Zebra, Glasgow don't have a game, and then your international window. And then, the kind of, I suppose, the dubiety that hangs over a lot of fixtures at the moment in the COVID world we're in. You can see the value of having time together as a squad for both Edinburgh and Glasgow, consistent time together ends in a better product like we got towards the last 30 minutes on Saturday. So what is important is winning the game you're in at that moment, because you don't know how many you're going to have. You don't know the structure of the season, and it was really important for Glasgow to get that win, and I managed to get it after Edinburgh coming good the week before.
Yep, that keeps the 1872 Cup alive, and we'll keep our eye on the fixture schedule, as you say, to see when that third game may come in.
Well, Gregor, you've chosen the squad for the upcoming Guinness Six Nations. 15 backs, 20 forwards. And there have been a number of changes to the squad, that you made in the autumn. How difficult a process now is it for you to narrow down to that 35?
It's a difficult process, but that's a positive. We have a lot of players available now, a lot of players playing a high level of rugby. And with the fact that not everyone has had a lot of games as well, we're picking on what players are doing now, what they did in autumn. But it's certainly a lot of competition for spaces, for places in the team.
And I guess it's heightened by the current situation we're all in with the pandemic. How has the current situation with COVID maybe affected selection as well?
It's definitely been a factor. We are different in terms of what we can do during this campaign compared to the autumn. And the big difference is our players that are based outside of Scotland will be going back to their clubs or could be recalled by their clubs during our camp week after we have 3 days of training. And if they're not involved in a match day squad, they would go back to their clubs if the clubs want them for the weekend. So that is a factor in some of the selection decisions we've made around players that would be going in and out of environments and not being able to stay with us during this period. But we've got a good mix of players that are based at Edinburgh, Glasgow and down south. And obviously one player in France and Finn Russell. So we pick first and foremost on the quality of the player, what they bring as an individual and how they help the team improve. But we certainly have to consider other factors with COVID just now.
Well, if we look at the squad you've chosen in more detail, Gregor, one of the names that jumps out straight away is Cameron Redpath. You know, you played with his dad for Scotland and you know him well. But for those of us maybe who don't know Cameron that well, talk us through what kind of player he is and also how excited you are that he's involved with Scotland now.
Yeah, we're all excited. We're delighted that Cam has committed to us. He's obviously from a real Scottish heritage, but has been brought up in England and played England age group rugby. So I know it's been a tough decision for him over the last year or so, but we're delighted that we can now involve him in a squad. Cam is an excellent player. He has really good ability as an attacker and defender, someone who is a ball playing 12. He's had a lot of experience of playing 10 and at 13 in his career, but that first receiver, second receiver role at 12, he does really well with his range of passing, his strength in the carry as well. And he's a really committed defender, someone that loves the contact area, loves to jackal. And on top of those rugby skill areas, he's a mature lad and has a lot of leadership ability. We've seen that in how he plays and the conversations I've had with him over the last few years, but also we know that he plays a leadership role at his current club at Bath. So yeah, we can't wait to work with him. Can't wait for our other players to work alongside him and for him to experience international rugby.
And on the other side, you've got a player like Richie Gray coming back into the mix. Now, I know he was involved in the autumn, but was released back to his club. But somebody who's got a lot of experience, you must be delighted to welcome back Richie into a Six Nations squad.
Yeah, sorry, Richie's played really well for Glasgow. I think they've played 2 games over the last 4 weeks and having missed some rugby following autumn. It was great to see him back at that level of play and that level of conditioning. He enjoyed his time with us at the beginning of the autumn campaign. We enjoyed having him with us, and it is a really competitive position, second row. Our players that are missing out in selection now are good enough to play test rugby and have played really well for us in the past. And we also have some young players coming through that In other years, probably would have made our squad, but we have some outstanding second rowers. And I think that level of competition will bring the best out of the players we have in the squad here, but also those that have missed out.
You've invited a number of young players as well into the already established squad. Just talk us through the thinking behind that.
Yeah, well, Rory Darge, Jamie Dobie, Rufus McLean are players we see that could be international players in the future. Jamie and Rufus have had some game time this year for Glasgow, and Rory was outstanding for Scotland under 20s last year. It gives us ability with some of our English based players going back to play for the clubs, for them to have an active role in our training, see what it's like to be an international camp. Rufus was in for a couple of days in autumn, and I know he got a lot out of it, and we were really impressed with what he did in training. Similar to Ewan Ashman, he came and trained with us for a week in autumn, and now he's in the full squad, competing for a place at a hooker with George, Dave and Grant.
There's been a bit of chat about Cameron over the years. He's played his age group rugby at Scotland. He's had his time in England squads and camps, but not capped by England at any stage. And Gregor looks as if he's persuaded him to put his allegiance to Scotland.
Yeah, I've watched him play a little bit down here recently for Bath, and the one that jumps out last kind of couple of weeks is against Wasps. He was very good. He's quite a dynamic ball carrying centre, and you know, against Wasps the other week, he created a try out of nothing. So I think, you know, he'll bring something a bit different, be a bit exciting to watch, and definitely one to watch in this squad for sure.
Have you worked with him, Wasps?
Yeah, a little bit. He was in our 18s, our 16s and 18s, and I saw a little bit of him a few years ago now. He's 21 now, but I really like him as a player. And what excites me, I mean, he's an amazing player as an individual, but what excites me is I think he would really help the way Scotland play. I think we've been successful as a nation when we've had extra decision makers, ball players, you know, kind of moulded number 12s rather than a more one-dimensional number 12 at times. And I think he fits into that bill. He's got a great attack, as Rachel said. His try was outstanding just his last game there against Wasps. He actually scored the week before against Leicester. So his two games since New Year have been really good. He's been really outstanding. Recently moved to Bath after being at Sale for most of his career. But he attacks the line. He can be used as a distributor when he's, you know, far away from defence. If he's distributing long passes, he can play right at the line as well as break it and run through. He's a tough defender, kicks well out of hand, real good decision maker. So he's a perfect fit for how Scotland like to play and the extra decision makers we can get out there. So it's a big move for him, and he comes into the squad with 33, and he'll be hoping to prove his worth and get a selection.
Do you think this is decision made now? Because there has been a little bit of chopping and changing. Well, that's not fair at him. He was invited in post-age group to England camps. He's grown up in England and played all his rugby down there. But do you think this is now the point where he said, right, no, decision made, I'm going to try and push for a Scotland cap?
I hope so. I mean, he's good enough to play international rugby, and if he can play for Scotland, that's a bonus as far as I'm concerned. You know, I think he was born in England. He grew most of his life, I think, in England, and you know, played all his school rugby, most of his age grade rugby, down there, surrounded by, you know, his mates. But this is, he has the opportunity to come into the squad. He's been playing well. He deserves it. Whether England wanted him in the squad or not, I don't know. But he's in the Scotland squad for this campaign, and I hope he's successful.
Well, absolutely. His old man will be happy as well.
It kind of reminds me a wee bit, is that a competitive spirit that Brush had, so that's good to see. Alex Craig's another young lad who's back in. He's been involved in squads before, big kind of back row, second row for Gloucester. He would just have been after Cam, or around maybe the same time in the under 20s actually. Gary Graham back in the back row as well, so a couple of guys who are playing well in the Premiership getting a nod.
Yeah, big Richie Gray comes in at the second row, like came back. That first game at VT Murrayfield was outstanding and played well in the second Glasgow Edinburgh game as well. Spencer Bentolis, who I'm not sure how he is injury-wise, but also Sam Skinner from Exeter, who again fits that mould of the kind of back row second row. He's got the ability to play international rugby at either position. So a credit to Richie for the form that he's brought to get himself picked.
Yeah, and like you say, I think it's well deserved in that point of view. He's played really well the last couple of weeks, and just brought that kind of extra threat line out time for sure. But as you say, like, it is a shame for the likes of Sam Skinner, who's also been playing really good rugby down south.
Only two out and out nines and two out and out tens, Mossy. Yeah. No Duncan Weir.
Yeah.
It would do Jakob van der Vol and Finn Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Is there somebody else in there that you think would be covering 10, or do you think he's just going for, right, that'll do for the tournament?
Well, there's cover there. There's definitely cover there. You know, Hoggy can do it. James Lang's played a lot there. Cam Redpath himself has played, you know, 10. So there is cover there. You see two nines with Finn and Jacko. Duncan must have been close. Obviously, played well in the autumn. And he'll continue to knock at the door. Two nines as well, you mentioned, and Ali and Sam Steele. Sam Hidalgo-Klein misses out this time, but one of the three to invited to train is Jamie Dobby, the young Glasgow nine. So he's back up and there, or pushing, you know, fair play. Even if you're invited to train, you can push to be involved with the way you train. Rufus McLean's the other one with Rory Darge. So the three invited to train are young, hungry players who are definitely ones to watch, and it's brilliant to see that tradition continuing. And I believe they can push. You know, if you're in there and you're training and you're knocking on the door and you're, you know, applying yourself properly, there's no reason why you can't be involved. So yeah, two nines, two tens. There's a bit of cover there at 10. Dunkey's unfortunately missed out. Sam Hidalgo-Klein misses out. Matt Scott was another one in that midfield that has played, you know, a bit of rugby recently. But I suppose that's the depth we've got, isn't it? Who knows as well with the current situation in terms of player release, in terms of, you know, COVID, in terms of bubbles and secure bubbles and games. I don't expect the next 6 or 8 weeks to be like normal. There'll be movement and restrictions. We know that as part of the world is at the moment.
That's all from us this week on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more exclusive content.